The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 89th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today we are going to talk about relationships and the 18 red flags to pay attention to if we happen to see them as we are beginning a relationship. Before I dive in to this list, I want to give you a heads up as to what this week's petit plaisir is. And it has to do with something I was made aware of, or reminded of, I should say, in the French class that I am taking, as my French professor is from France, and she lends such a layer of the French culture that I have never really had in a French class from the professor herself. So it's an a lovely, simple treat that I want to share with you, or remind you of, or show you how to enjoy, because it is simple and it is delicious. But that will be at the end of today's episode. Today's episode is all about relationships, specifically those red flags that we should heed when we see them in the person we are beginning to date. Let me begin with a quote. The best gift we can give ourselves when we aren't in a relationship we want, should that be what we desire, is not to be in the wrong relationship. Often it seems easier to spot the strengths and weaknesses of a relationship when we are on the outside and have the benefit of objectivity, as we are not the ones actually in the relationship. And while this is a perceptive skill to possess, it can be ironic how we cannot often see these said strengths and weaknesses in our own pairings. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. Much like anything we wish to be successful at, it takes conscious awareness, a willingness to learn, and from time to time, firsthand experience and initial failed attempts to learn valuable lessons. Believe it or not, the relationships that didn't work out can offer their own long-lasting gifts in our present as we go about building new, lasting, loving, and supportive relationships. In fact, the biggest gift may be stepping away from a relationship prior to any emotional attachment when we realize it was not going to be a better path for us. We can then prevent much heartbreak, devastation, and unnecessary pain by heeding glaring red flags and recognizing that we need to refrain from ignoring them. However, not all red flags speak negatively of the person we are beginning to get to know. For example, we may meet someone whose values are simply different than our own, or their perspective on life is different than ours. It doesn't mean they're a bad person or that we're a bad person. It just means we need to go separate ways. It probably isn't something we want to invest in for a long-term relationship. Again, every relationship's different, but that's a red flag. That's not necessarily a red flag as in watch out. It just means they may not be right for you, and you need to let them go on their own path and their own journey and find the right person, and you need to do the same. But when a red flag reveals someone's true character, that is something that would crush the vibrant person that you are, you need to move on. You need to move on. Now, before I dive into the 18 red flags that we should not take lightly, let me preface by saying the more obvious red flags are not going to be listed or included in today's list, such as physical abuse or cheating. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, understand these to be red flags, but I just want to make sure that I'm not, let you know that I'm not ignoring these. It's just assume that they're red flags and they're definitely no-go zones. Also, I want to say that noticing red flags doesn't happen necessarily on the first date or even the second or third. Be patient. Get to know this person without committing. And in some cases, don't assume something is a red flag when maybe they're just simply being guarded because they don't know you either. Keeping in mind that none of us are perfect and that we are all capable of growing should we wish to pursue this. The key is to respect ourselves and the life that we've created for ourselves, as well as the life we want to live in the future. Enough so that we have the courage to walk away from something if it's just not something that we should proceed towards anymore. With that said, I created today's episode as a list of red flags that we observe in others. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't also put the mirror up and look at our own selves and see where we can grow. Not all of the relationships that we have been in that have ended are going to end because of a red flag. Sometimes a relationship happens for a certain amount of time for a certain reason, to teach us something, to remind us of something, to get us through something. And we don't even know it at the time, but upon reflection, we realize there was a time and there was a purpose, but that time has ended and we move on. No red flag needed. But sometimes, as we said at the beginning of this episode, it's easier to see red flags in others than it is in ourselves. So as we're talking about these things today, be thinking, how can I improve as well? How can I improve as well and be a better partner in a relationship while still being true to myself? All right, enough chit-chat. Let's get into this. The 18 red flags that we should not only notice, but respect as a warning to move on. Number one, they have a sense of humor that is hurtful. The question often comes up on dating blogs. What if our humors don't match? Is this a red flag? Not necessarily. Granted, often someone with a sense of humor is more attractive, but simply because you see different things as funny doesn't mean you should bail. However, if their humor is a direct result of seeing other people, animals, or things suffer or be embarrassed, then yes, this is a red flag worth respecting. Stay with the person who makes you laugh or allows you to feel comfortable being yourself so that you can be your goofy self, but know the difference between hurtful humor and playful humor. Number two, they are amazed that you could like them. Sometimes when we're just gaining our self-confidence or are rebounding from a blow to our self-esteem, we can be tempted to be thrilled when anyone pays us attention. Move past this and move past this quickly. Why? Often we are so self-conscious that we aren't paying attention to who is truly standing in front of us, our date. If by date three or week two, your date tells you they can't believe you would be with someone like them, 9 times out of 10, that's a sign that you haven't been paying close enough attention. This may sound snobby, but trust me, it isn't. People will reveal their truths to you if you pay attention, and often the statement is said in complete sincerity, an unguarded moment. And while such a comment may sound like flattery initially, take a moment and get to know them better. So number two is they are amazed that you like them. Number three is they don't respect your boundaries. In an episode that I shared last month on trust, one of the key components to developing trust with someone is if they respect your boundaries. Sometimes we have to state our boundaries, and sometimes it is understood unless we say otherwise. For example, if you share with them that you need some time alone or are exhausted after a long work week and you just want to stay home, yet they ignore your wishes and intrude to make plans for you to go out, these are examples of ignoring your boundaries. These may seem like simple oversteps, and if it is the first time, sure, but if it happens repeatedly, they aren't respecting what you need. Number four is an ex or exes is still in the picture and children are not involved. Mentioning of the exes is a benign event and expected eventually in a relationship, because most of us have them, right? However, heed to what degree the ex or exes are mentioned. Most of us, as I said, have exes, so we're not talking about sharing your past, which is completely expected. But if they still have a relationship with them, determine what type of relationship it is. Is it friendly, respectful, or are they best buds? What role does the ex have in their life? What role do you have in your new dating partner's life? Why hasn't the ex moved on? While this isn't an immediate red flag, perhaps you can have a conversation with your partner. But as you move forward, ensure that whatever their role is, if any, that you are truly comfortable with it and feel respected. So number four is there is an ex that's still in the picture and children are not involved. Number five, they impose guilt when they don't get what they want or you don't act the way they prefer. The imposition of guilt is a weak man's way of communicating. The key to a healthy relationship, any relationship, is clear, honest, thoughtful conversation. Someone who is tossing around guilt is trying to manipulate your behavior. It could be a comment they say in passing about, if you really liked me, you'd stop being friends with her. Or it may reveal itself in the form of passive-aggressive behavior, i.e. the silent treatment. Either way, they aren't communicating what they want in an adult fashion, and unless they want to change, they aren't going to, because this behavior has clearly worked for them in the past if they are still doing it. So number five is they impose guilt when they don't get what they want or you don't act the way they prefer. Number six is they lack direction. Perhaps you've heard of the Peter Pan syndrome. If the person you are dating appears to have not grown up or doesn't have a desire to be a grown-up who is responsible for their life without reliance on mom and dad, you may have met your very own Peter Pan. Now, rest assured, there are female Peter Pans as well. There just doesn't seem to be a name that is well suited. So we'll just call them Peter Pans and female Peter Pans. Let them go. Number six is they have a lack of direction. Number seven is they need a relationship and anyone will do. I call these people relationship hoppers. Those people who don't know what it's like to be alone because they really never have been. Everyone's time between relationships will be different for a myriad of reasons. But when you find someone who is ready to jump into a relationship, back up a step and find out why they're so eager to go from one to the next without a breath. If it feels like they have a canned speech or a first date routine, if their personality or friendliness comes across as insincere, or if they really don't want to get to know you, they just want you to like them, put this relationship on pause permanently. So number seven is they need a relationship and anyone will do. Number eight, you are their only means to happiness. With time, a healthy relationship will find you spending more and more time with each other. But each of you should be independent, secure beings capable of enjoying life's moments from time to time without each other, truly enjoying these moments on your own. The codependency often provides us with security and stability when the relationship begins because we are uncertain about where the relationship stands. But in the long run, this type of relationship is not healthy. You must be secure with yourself. Enjoy your own company. And they themselves as well, if you want to enjoy life together. Everyone's amount of time that they will need or want to be by themselves will be different, but be sure to cultivate your own life before you settle down with someone else. So number eight is that you are their only means to happiness. Number nine is that you have differing values. As I mentioned at the beginning of today's episode, simply because you have different values, perhaps it has to do with religion, or maybe you have stark differences when it comes to understanding politics or the direction that you want to take in your future, whether it's have kids or not have kids, doesn't mean that they are bad people or that something's wrong with you. It just means this isn't someone to begin a long-term relationship with. So number nine is that you have differing values. Might be a sign to move on. Number 10, rather than support you in your goals, they want to improve you for their benefit. As discussed in last week's episode about the languages of love, the five love languages by Gary Chapman, one of them, of the five, was words of praise. When we encourage our partner to be the best they can be, we may not understand why they want to do what they're doing. We may not understand how it will be possible, but we do need to support and encourage them. That is love. It is not our partner's job to change us, to fix us, and assist us in improving so that they are happier with us. No. We are not objects. Men or women, we're not objects, but rather someone who needs a partner or wants a partner, I should say. Do not allow someone to see you as an object or a project. So number 10 is rather than support you in your goals, they want to improve you for their benefit. Number 11, Things said in confidence are then shared with others. Speaking of building trust, whether it is something we share with a confidant or our romantic partner, if we share something that we understand is going to be kept between us, the two people in the room that are talking, and then that promise is violated, trust cannot be built. Sometimes the first time is a mistake, absolutely a misunderstanding. And at that time, communication, clear communication needs to take place to let them know, hey, I thought we were supposed to keep this between us. I really appreciate if you would not share what I share with you in confidence with other people. But if it happens again, see their behavior as a red flag and move on. So number 11 is things said in confidence are shared with others. Number 12, they have more than one friend who has troubling values. Sometimes the people we date are friends with someone who is going through a hard time. I mean, after all, we all have ups and downs in our lives, and being a good friend involves hanging in there through the good and the bad. But if their friends' behavior, more than one, tends to be troubling you and your way of life, take a step back and ask yourself, why is this person friends with these types of people? While we aren't expecting to love their friends as they do, we do need to see what type of relationships they surround themselves with, as it speaks to what they are comfortable with and are willing to either put up with or what they foster in their lives. So number 12 is they have more than one friend who has troubling values. Number 13, they latch on quickly, too quickly. Similar to number 7, which was they need a relationship and anyone will do. This person is quick to latch on to you and your life. They quickly assimilate to your world without hesitation. And often after close inspection, it may become apparent that they don't have much going on in their own life, such as goals, dreams, projects, hobbies. Choose someone who loves the life they are living and you will have a happy relationship. Choose someone who loves your life and codependency, or at the very least, an unequal relationship will begin to foster. I'm not saying that you can't find someone who loves your life and they also have a great life. I'm just saying make sure they're not leaning on you for what they can't cultivate on their own in their own life. Number 14, your only attraction is physical. These types of relationships are excusable when we are young and don't understand the chemicals rushing around our body and our brains, when we observe someone who absorbs our attention without them saying one word. Now, this is not to say we shouldn't have some chemistry with a person. We absolutely must. I don't care what objectors say. There at least needs to be a hint of the chemistry. Otherwise, you are just going to be friends. But basing your interest solely on someone's looks is a plan for disaster down the road. Substance. Focus on substance, not superficiality. It's worth mentioning that height needs to be reconsidered as well. I mean, that's a physical attribute, correct? It took me a long time to move past this one, looking for someone who is taller than me. While I'm still keeping an eye out for those men that are taller, I'm also not putting a barrier on them having to be absolutely taller than me. I am putting a limit on how much shorter they can be than me. But let me tell you, I've come a long way from where I was. And it had a lot to do with simply feeling secure with someone. But as I've become more secure with who I am and my own way of living and who I am as a person, it's bothered me less and less. So I do think, and I can wholeheartedly recommend, let go of the superficiality and look for substance, but don't forget about a little bit of chemistry as well. After all, I've realized that height does not make the man. Rather, it is how he carries himself and treats the person he is with. So number 14 is your only attraction is the physical. 15, they are always asking something of you. I can only share my experience of being a woman and dating men, but I have a feeling women do this as well as men. If your partner sees you as their maid, their cook, their dog sitter, their babysitter, their house sitter, basically if they see you as someone who will help them out without taking into consideration how it makes you feel, either sit them down and have a conversation or just be done with it tactfully. Much like a family member who continues to abuse your relationship and assumes simply because they're your family member that they can lean on you in times of trouble, a person who assumes that you fulfill a role because that was how it was done in the relationships that they saw modeled needs to be set straight. Relationships are partnerships, not employer-employee, not finding someone to do your laundry or cook your dinner because you didn't take the time to learn. The love language, acts of service, is communicated because someone wants to do this act for you to express their feelings of love towards you, not because they have to. So be careful here and watch what they ask of you. It's one thing to work together. It's another thing to be completely dumped on, to be expected to do all sorts of jobs. Moving on to number 16. How do they treat complete strangers? The treatment of service staff, strangers passing on the street, other people's property, anything that will not benefit them in any way can be a helpful indicator of their true character. Now be sure, sometimes they will put on their best behavior when you are present. So pay attention in moments when their guard is down. How they interact, what they expect, reveals habits they might not even be aware of. And it will be a glimpse into what their true character is. So number 16 is, observe how they treat complete strangers. Number 17, they never ask questions to get to know you. A red flag from the beginning is when someone you are intentionally interested in allows you to do all of the asking and conversations starting, but asks nothing of you as to get to know you. Sure, the evening went well. You were stroking their ego, but in reality, were they there because they wanted to be with you? Or did you simply make them feel good? Be honest with yourself. And allow a ping pong game, ensuring questions are tossed back naturally back and forth. That is a good sign. The former is not. So number 17 is they never ask questions to get to know you. Last but not least, number 18, your gut feels uncomfortable about them. Still. I probably could have begun and ended with this one, to be truthful, when it comes to red flags, as it has been my gut that has alerted me to warnings I couldn't see with my own eyes, or thankfully didn't have to experience firsthand. But if we have taken the time to get to know ourselves and have learned the lessons from the past, often we can sense when something is off, when someone is being disrespectful, or doesn't have the same intentions as we have. All of this depends upon how finely tuned your instincts are. And I don't care whether you're a man or a woman, your instincts are like a muscle. All of us have them, but not all of us use them or use them effectively. So if your instincts aren't well-toned, you may have to take a little more time to get to know them. But either way, eventually the red flag, if it's there, will raise its ugly head. Trust it. So number 18 is your gut feels uncomfortable about them. Still, move on. The primary reason I wanted to share this list with you today is because often we don't trust ourselves when it comes to love because either we're too self-critical or perhaps have lost confidence temporarily from a past relationship. Let me just say right now, you are amazing. No, you're not perfect. Neither am I, and you never will be. But stand in your shoes right now. Know that you will always be a work in progress. And that's okay. That's a really good thing. It means you're continuing to grow. You're being curious about life. You're engaged with life. And now look for someone who wants to make this journey of life with you in a similar way that you have imagined. Each of our desired journeys will be different, but we must be patient as we find someone who will be elated with the journey we will have the opportunity to travel with together. And hey, let me just say, if a red flag does pop up, be thankful. Be thankful that you have the opportunity and now more time to look for a person who will be a pleasure to be with. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. For the show notes, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast89. And do stay tuned for this week's petit pleasure. I'll see you in just a few. All right, this week's petit plaisir is a sandwich with ham and cheese, or un sandwich avec jambon et fromage. Now, the basic sandwich is simply a baguette and ham and butter. But as we were talking in my French class last week, and my professor actually brought in some ham from the deli and started tempting our taste buds, describing these baguettes and cheeses. And I my mouth began to water and I said, okay, I already know what I'm going to have for lunch this weekend. I'm going to remind myself of this simple but delicious lunch snack or lunch meal, I should say. Anyway, what I remember when I went studied abroad in Angers, France, more than 15 years ago, was that my lunch was basically a baguette freshly made that morning with ham and cheese. And at the time I was like, come on, where are all the other, you know, the lettuce and this and that? And you can do that. You can add that. Absolutely. But if you get great cheese, and they recommend Emmental cheese, which is a Swiss cheese, a high quality Swiss cheese, or any semi-firm cheese. But if you get quality cheese and you get delicious ham, you don't need too many extra accoutrements. Now, I like to add tomato, fresh tomato, and I've heard some people like to add mayonnaise. And as I said, the traditional sandwich is with butter, French butter, so that's a whole other flavor altogether. Some people add pickles. I mean, you really could add anything. But if you have quality ingredients, all you need is a fresh, flaky, crunchy baguette that's soft inside. Put your ham on it. Put your cheese on it. I like cheddar. You can also put Gruyere, but any semi-hard cheese will do. And eat to your heart's content. The one thing I do love about baguette, I love baguettes for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I love baguettes is that you can't eat them quickly. You have to savor them. If you have a good baguette, you have to savor them because they are firm and crispy and crunchy on the outside, but they're soft in the middle. And sit down and just be taken to France for a moment if you're not there already. I know I did that this weekend. I went and got my baguette at the Village Baker, and I picked up some Dublinder cheese, some cheddar cheese, at Newport Market, as well as some, I actually got some prosciutto ham, but you can get any kind of ham. And I put on a slice of heirloom tomato, and I was taken to France for those 15, 20 minutes. It was lovely. Anyway, I'll provide a list of the ingredients and possible cheeses that you might want to use. And I hope you enjoy a moment to be taken to France this week. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe from time to time, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjour.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.